What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
When New Yorkers buy a place with Street Easy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Rise.
It's time to wake on up,
wake up
with a nice cup of Joe.
What's up, Joe, bro?
Featuring Joe Spadoni.
He's an Italian.
And Joe, the butcher boy Shasky.
I am slippery.
Oh!
The best part of waking up is morning roast in your cup.
It is the morning roast, man, on 95.7 The Game.
It really is. We're back. We're better than ever.
Well,
are the 49ers better than ever? Don't know, Juwan Jennings.
Ow.
Just when you thought you could have a drama-free offseason, this is where we're at. A week away from the start of the NFL regular season. You can smell it in the air. We got college football
taste
this weekend.
It.
You can taste it. We got Dave Fleming joining us in about 27 minutes. Voice of the Giants, who got a big win yesterday, but also he does college football for ESPN. We'll get his thoughts on that. Hell, maybe we'll ask Dave Fleming about Juwan Jennings and whether or not they really need this guy back. I got Jose in Oakland wants to join in the conversation. We got Sam Lubman in for Joe Shasky. We got Carter in the back. We got Risotto. We just had Mike Florio on. If you missed any of that interview, Pro Football Talk Zone, Mike Florio joined us in the 7 o'clock hour. Find all of that on the free Odyssey app or on YouTube, where we are streaming. You can see this lovely Valkyries jersey I am rocking, or
so
that
jealous.
Miami Hurricanes shirt that Sam Lubman is wearing. It's all about the U, baby. And shout out to those watching on YouTube, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer. And as always, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk, it's Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. All right, Juwan Jennings watch is officially upon us. You guys need to come up with a new one for that. Not the
Jennings jam.
Yeah, we need a Jennings one. We got to create that. Maybe next week, maybe over the weekend, maybe after Orange Black Weekend wrap is wrapped up from 9 to 12 this Saturday with you, Sammy, you can get on the Jennings jam.
There we go. Exactly.
I'm asking you to work on your off days. That's what I'm telling you.
Oh, God. Yeah. Imagine working on off day. No one does that here except for me, apparently. But
the Jennings jam.
It went to the next level yesterday. I said this at the start of the show. I'm going to say it again now. As Jennifer Lee Chan said yesterday, I believe we have the sound actually of her saying this. We want to play that. You can just hear it from her instead. But this is the time of year when John and Kyle start showing their frustration towards guys. And yesterday, the 49ers, I think, very, very loudly with their words and their actions showed some serious frustration towards Juwan Jennings.
I would agree with that. And we're going to hear from John Lynch, Kyle Shanahan, those guys speaking about one Juwan Jennings, the trade. Are they going to trade him? Are they rescinding that? They're not trading this guy. First off, they had to acknowledge a trade request happened, and they refused to do that a month ago, Sammy, which I thought was very curious. Why? Because it was July 14th, Schefter had the tweet, where it was like, okay, Juwan Jennings wants to either get paid more or he wants to be traded. Okay. So started training camp. They were asked that, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, and Shanahan's like, yeah, no, he hasn't asked for a trade. And then a month later, they're acknowledging it. It's all very odd and very strange to me.
Oh, no.
But we're going to hear from John Lynch in just a little bit. I do want to hear from Jose in Oakland, who's been hanging on tight, though, about the Jennings situation. 888-957-9570. By the way, for those of you just joining us, it is 8:05 a.m., and you might have not seen the news on social media. And we actually posted it on our social media channels at 957 The Game on Instagram. But the 49ers unveiled a new uniform, their rivalry uniforms via Nike. It was revealed that the NFC West and the AFC East have rivalry uniforms that they're going to debut this season. It's the final week, week 18 for the 49ers, that they're going to be doing it against the Seahawks, right?
Apparently, yeah. I went on the NFLshop.com where you can buy all of these rivalry jerseys now. And yeah, it lists the dates that all the teams are going to be wearing their jerseys. And it said, yeah, the Niners will be on the for week 18. That is when they will wear theirs. Everyone else has dates for theirs. The Seahawks will wear theirs on the 18th of December. The Jets on December 7th. The Rams will wear theirs on November 16th. The Patriots, which are a pretty cool smoky gray one, that will be on November 13th. The Buffalo Bills with their, looks like a whiteout blizzard.
It's really, the Bills one's the coolest.
The Bills one's actually pretty cool. Yeah. That's on October 5th. Miami Dolphins, which I would say is a close second here with the black and the turquoise blue, that actually hits pretty hard. That better be a night game for the Dolphins. That those jerseys will hit hard there. That is on September 29th. And then the Arizona Cardinals have this desert-looking pattern. Oh, because they're in the desert. Ah, I get it. That will be on September 25th when you can see Kyler Murray wearing this sand-colored jersey. So Anakin Skywalker, not a fan of those jerseys.
I hate sand. It's coarse, rough, and it does get everywhere. I was going to say, you know, they can go the Black Ops 2 look if they wanted to go camo. Shout out Call of Duty for one Kyler Murray. I guess they didn't do that this time around. Jose in Oakland.
It's a good pull.
Jose in Oakland, did you see the Niners jerseys? Before we get to Juwan Jennings, have you seen the new Niner jerseys, and do you like them?
Good morning, guys. No, I haven't, but I'm not a fan of it if it's black. I mean, we're not the Raiders, okay? The black belongs with the Raiders, and I'm a 49ers fan, but I got to respect the uniform from the Raiders.
Fair enough. That's actually a solid take, and that's actually a very popular take, too, Jose. I'm seeing that a lot, that a lot of Niner fans are like, no, we don't need black at all. That's the Raiders thing. We need to just stick down to our traditional red and gold. All right, what do you got on Jennings?
Jennings, I love the player. He never caused drama before. He has always performed on the field. Unfortunately, I think this year, his agent, who, by the way, is a veteran agent, I think he overplayed his hand. Honestly, I think he tried to play chicken with the Niners when he saw their situation with the wide receivers, and they called his bluff. Now, Jennings is in the middle of it, and he's caught in a lose-lose situation. Why a lose-lose situation? Because if he comes back and play, they're going to say, well, you asked for all of this, and at the end of the day, you still have to come back with your tail between your legs and play. If he doesn't play and claims that the calf is still bad, he's going to look bad with the fans, because they're going to think you're just making it up. Even if he's not making it up, other teams are not going to want to trade for him or sign him, and they're going to say, well, I mean, an injury this, you know, this bad, do you really want to trade or sign a player like that? I mean, they just went through it with McCaffrey. You know, it didn't seem like a bad injury, and it cost him one full year of paying the guy for not being on the field. So It all goes back, like I said, to just bad advice, to be honest with you. Because Jennings, he never caused drama before, so all this thing about him asking more money or an extension just came out of the blue, and I think the agent figured, hey, it's my chance to make more money. I mean, let's look at it. If the player doesn't make any money, the agent doesn't make any money. But he overplayed his hand.
Thanks, Jose in Oakland. Do you believe that Juwan Jennings overplayed his hand, Niner fans? 888-957-9570. I do believe he has lost a significant amount of leverage that otherwise he would have had if he didn't hurt his calf. I do think it comes back to this calf injury, which I do believe is legit. I'm not saying it's a fake injury. I don't know the severity of said injury, but I do believe it is legitimate, because why would he have anything to gain from faking an injury at this point when he's trying to be on the field and produce? He was holding in. It wasn't like he was a full-on hold out prior to the injury. He was there practicing, gets hurt, and now we haven't seen him in over a month at Niners practice, and we are, again, less than 2 weeks away now from the start of the regular season for the 49ers. It is not this Sunday, but the next Sunday in Seattle, week one. And again, start from today, a week from today, we got the Red and Gold Summit at Westfield Valley Fair at King's Fish House, Sammy.
Yeah, so again, as we're talking about Juwan Jennings here, and did he overplay his hand? Mike Florio, when he had him on, had some very interesting stuff to say about it, and he mentioned how Juwan Jennings, there was no market for him a couple years ago when he was a free agent. He could have signed anywhere. And I thought Florio was pretty blunt. Like, he was just like, hey, I have less sympathy for guys who had got a chance to sign a contract already, didn't take that much money, and then now are asking for money. You could have had a chance. You could have bet on yourself. You could have had a one-year deal and tried to re-up after that, and that's not what he did here. And so when you look at it through that lens, yeah, I do think Juwan Jennings definitely overplayed his hand. He's overplaying his hand in that he is trying to come off here as he is a legitimate number one receiver that he was last year. And as we've been discussing on this so far this morning on the show, Spadoni, and for those who missed it, we were discussing earlier about how many teams Juwan Jennings would be a number one wide receiver on. And we were hard pressed to find a good team that he would be a number one receiver on. He wouldn't be a number one on this team. I think he is easily the number three receiver on this team, maybe even further down the depth chart in terms of pass catchers once you factor George Kittle into this equation. But
and a healthy Brandon Ayuk.
And an healthy Brandon Ayuk, yes. When everybody's healthy, Juwan Jennings is maybe the fourth or fifth option that Brock Purdy is looking for on this team. And in that situation, you're not going to pay a guy who's a fourth or fifth option the kind of money that you would give to a guy who's a second or third option. That's just not how things work here in this league. That's what the N stands for in NFL, not how it works football league.
And for a lot of things these last couple
days. It stands for a lot of things other than national. So that's the situation that Juwan Jennings finds himself in. And yeah, it's become a tough situation for both sides now, because this thing has held out so long that I don't know what kind of production you're getting from Juwan Jennings here to start the year at a time when the 49ers receiving core is very just so many. It's Ricky Pearsall, George Kittle, and a bunch of who knows what happens at that point.
We got Dave Fleming joining us in about 18 minutes. Giants broadcaster, our 95.7 The Game Giants insider, but he also touches on some college football as well, as he calls games for ESPN there. And he's tapped in on all things around the Bay Area as well. So we'll touch some a little footy football for one Dave Fleming in about 18 minutes. In the meantime, let's hear from John Lynch, who spoke yesterday. It's about a 3-minute cut here, just taking questions about one Juwan Jennings. This is some really good stuff. We're going to react to it afterwards. We're going to get to this, though. Sam, do you have something real quick?
Yeah, just before you get to it, because I listened to it yesterday, and really kind of pay attention to the tone, I think, that John Lynch uses here. I feel like the tone carries more weight than the words here, because that's where you really feel where the feelings and emotions are regarding where this team is at with Juwan Jennings.
John Lynch, speaking to the media yesterday.
Juwan Jennings and just how that fits into the overall picture of the 53.
Yeah, so Juwan's still working through his calf issue, making progress. You know, we're kind of like everyone else, hopeful but not sure, you know, on week one. And, you know, we'll proceed as as such, and so we're working to get the best mix out there. We added a piece today, and you know, in MVS, Marquez Valdez Scantling, and thrilled to have him part of it. And you know, we move forward.
Are you involved in any other wide receivers?
You know, we're always trying to improve our roster.
You guys have mentioned his MRI in the past. Do you guys see progress with that, with the imaging that's been taken on the calf?
Yeah, you don't image a guy like daily, you know. So that's something that happened a little bit ago, and you know, if it doesn't get better soon, I'm sure we'll be doing more of that.
Is it worse than you originally had thought it was going to be?
Yeah, but I also, you know, calves can take a long time. That's one thing with that injury. Played with guys who they can take a while. So.
Thank you. sure you may be aware that there's been some conjecture that there's more than just a cap going on, given his desire for your contract and everything. Are you convinced when he is healthy that he'll be ready to play?
Well, there's a lot that goes into that, Eric. You know, ideally, everybody has a training camp. Everyone's out there. You know, that's a perfect world. But, you know, he's been putting in work to the side, and we'll have to make that judgment when the time comes. You know, the other thing is both things can be true. You know, he wants a new contract and he's got a hurt calf. So I think people want to assume one or the other. Both things can be true.
When you make your decisions on the wide receiver position specifically, do you have to do it assuming you might not have Juwan for the first few weeks?
I think we make every decision on this roster with so many things in consideration. So, yes, of course.
Has he asked to be traded?
You know, a while ago he did. But that was a long time ago, and we've moved on from that.
That was during camp, or was it before?
I'm not getting into when it was, but it, you know, was a while ago.
And this is a team that's had great chemistry, obviously, but it's also had some contractual issues in the past. What does it tell you that Juwan did ask to be traded, and how does that change the way you think about him or the way he exists on this organization?
No, that doesn't faze me at all. I don't think it has anything to do with team chemistry. And that only has anything to do with how we approach each other, how we spend our time with each other. That has to do with business decisions, and those are the business decisions people make. But I don't look at any of that stuff. I mean, you get a tweet of that while you're on a vacation, and I don't get the tweets, but when people copy a tweet and send it to me, that's about all I get, and I usually move on with my life.
John, when you said he did ask for a trade a while back, has that trade request been rescinded?
No, he asked for it, and we've moved on, and we're not doing that, so we're moving forward.
What is his contract? What about the contract site says that he has incentives baked into that contract that he signed? Does he have performance-based incentives?
I think that report, somebody put that in front, that was from last year. So those are things that he's already earned from last year. Yeah.
And that was yesterday, obviously. Kyle Shanahan, head coach of the 49ers, alongside general manager John Lynch, speaking to the media about one Juwan Jennings. As it stands right now, I would be surprised to see Juwan starting week one in Seattle, just given the injury, given the lack of time in training camp. I would be very, very shocked to see Juwan Jennings suiting up week one in Seattle next Sunday, Sammy. But you're right. You know, the tone of John Lynch there
sounds very annoyed.
You know, it sounded like me after, like, it's going to be me after Monday with the long weekend with the kids who don't have school on Monday. It's going to be like, yeah, you know, just, you know, just
young Juwan.
Young Juwan Spadoni, a.k.a. Benny Spadoni, just, you know, absolutely asking. He's like, can we get another Happy Meal? I was like, no, we're not getting a Happy Meal. Happy Meal's a treat, kid. All right? We're not doing Happy Meal. You're going to have...
Those are for true number one kids. You may be number one for me, but for other parents...
No, you're going to have some noodles, all right, and some garlic bread, and you're going to be happy.
Ooh.
All right?
What's he complaining about? Noodles and garlic bread? I'll take that over a Happy Meal any day. Tell young Benjamin that he's got the right meal in front of him.
I try to, Sam, but he's very picky. He's
tell
not
him really, I said so. That'll get him to listen.
He gets that from his mom. He's very picky on that side. Not for me. I can eat anything. His sister's like that, too. But that being said, John Lynch sounds like an exhausted father. That's kind of how he sounded.
That's and a good way to put it.
He's exhausted from the last couple of years of doing this stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's just like... Can we just have a normal offseason and no drama? And I know Kyle Shanahan spoke over the summer and said, hey, if you're a good team, you're going to have to deal with drama. That comes with the territory. That being said, it does feel like the 49ers themselves have dealt with more drama than any other team these last few seasons. I know the Cowboys are the Cowboys, and CeeDee Lamb and Micah Parsons, and, you know, Terry McLaurin in Washington, and all these other teams have all the drama. The Raiders, there's always drama there. I get it. But this team in particular, after the Ayuk saga, the Trent Williams saga, the Christian McCaffrey stuff, the George Kittle, Brock Purdy, are you going to bam, all this, that, and everything, the Trey Lance, all of it. Juwan Jennings, really? Really?
It just doesn't feel worth it.
That's kind of how it feels like John Lynch sounded,
yeah,
right there.
It's like, this isn't worth the trouble. This
how many sighs did you hear from him?
There's a few. When I was listening yesterday, I was keep trying to, you know, sigh tracker. You know, I wasn't tracking all of them, but... yeah, there was some heavy, heavy sighs in there, some heavy breathings in there. You could feel the tenseness in his voice. And again, the one thing I think we're coming out of today is that, you know, the injury is real. There is a realness to this calf injury. And again, I don't know how real it is. We all know how troublesome calves can be. But I feel like we can agree that that is a layer that is over this whole conversation right now that adds some murkiness to what the solution of this is going to be. Because, you know, we're talking about, you know, is he closer to getting traded or suiting up for week one? I asked, you know, Mike Florio about that. He kind of dismissed the idea of Jennings being traded only because logistically it's very frustrating to do. You got to find a team that will want him. You got to plug him in. It's harder for receivers to get in there. And the most likely time he gets traded is going to be closer to the trade deadline during week nine. All that before you even factor in the calf injury, which, again, if it is real, that's going to impact some of his trade value here. So what you end up happening, we end up having, it's almost like you kind of have like this, it's the end of a Tarantino movie. You have like a Mexican standoff here, both sides pointing at each other with no real place to go here. You can't trade Jennings, so the Niners have no leverage there. And, you know, the Niners have other options they could go to, so Jennings really doesn't have any leverage there. So we were talking yesterday, did Juwan Jennings lose his leverage? When you take away the trade option, does that kind of have the Niners lost a lot of their leverage too? Is this a situation where both sides basically have no leverage now?
We could all agree. I think the 49ers, they want Juwan Jennings. Juwan Jennings wants to be a 49er. There is a number that is agreeable upon at some point. I think that's how it's going to end. I believe that. I think they're going to come up with a number that is acceptable for both parties. But it's, when does Juwan come back to help this team? And what version of Juwan is there? I'm not sure. Because we saw it last year with Ayuk, missed the entirety of training camp. He was behind the eight ball. Ricky Pearsall, he was hurt in training camp, and then the guy got shot. Took a long time for him to come back from that, physically and mentally and emotionally, obviously. And then obviously now with Juwan Jennings' calf injury, you'll be very careful with those things. It's very tricky. You know, all of a sudden assume this guy could come back and hit the ground running week one. This is what Mike Florio had to say with this last hour, though, Sam. Pro Football Talk, obviously, NBC Sports Football Night in America on NBC, alongside Chris Sims. He does his thing. Mike Florio on Jennings wanting a new contract.
The hardball approach can blow up on the team. We've already seen him potentially hold in. Who knows? Calf injury, it's one of those things where what can you really do? And is the team willing to say, we don't believe you? That just makes everything uglier if the team starts calling BS on the guy claiming he's injured. But as the season unfolds and he's got no security beyond this year, everybody gets banged up. But here's the thing. You don't have to fake them. Every player who's been playing football since he was a little kid has something that he could point to and say, I don't feel 100%. And then you get into a season, we hear it all the time. Nobody's 100%. So as we get deeper into the season and Juwan Jennings compiles bumps and bruises, is he going to say, I can't play this week? What's the team going to do about it? That's the problem. So you have a guy that is not going to be as willing to throw himself into the fray as he was last year because he believes he's grossly underpaid and he's concerned about his security after this season. And if he suffers a serious injury while he's playing, if he does have a minor condition that could become a major condition, he is going to be less inclined to play. So that's a cloud that's going to hang over the team. And by taking that hardline approach, we're not going to do anything about this, fine, but you're not going to get the most out of your player either.
That dark cloud came back. I thought it was over after Jordan Poole, Draymond Green, the dark cloud. It's returned.
There's always a dark cloud over some team right now. Barry has got some a trifecta of pretty good dark clouds over their teams right now. It's pretty foggy out today. I'd say it's foggy. It's some dark fog. Some dark Carl the Fog out there.
Don't give it the name.
But its name is Carl. Just relax and deal with it.
Says who?
Says everybody.
No one says that.
Lots of people do. But there is a dark cloud over Santa Clara in the form of Juwan Jennings. There's a dark cloud over Chase Center in the form of Jonathan Kuminga. There's a dark cloud over Oracle Park, or even after a 12-3 win, in the form of the Giants coaching staff. So we are we're not the Bay Area. We're the dark cloud area right now. But Florio had another interesting nugget there, talking about how, you know, if he is banged up, if he is hurt, or maybe he does come back, he is ready to go, he might not throw himself into the fray as much. He might not go as hard this year because he doesn't want to risk getting hurt even more, because this is a guy who, after this year. Juwan Jennings, they voided his contract next year. He can be an unrestricted free agent after this season. So if he's looking to go and get his bag, he doesn't want to put himself in a situation that could further injure him this year and compromise his ability to get his bag next offseason. So let's say you do get him back onto the field. What kind of Jennings are you getting from that angle too? So maybe in that situation, there's more incentive for the Niners to kind of pay him what he wants. Because if they just kind of send him out there with a one-year deal that he doesn't like, are you getting the Juwan Jennings that you need to have to succeed? Or are you just getting a guy who is going to be going through the motions for 17 games because he's pissed off and wants to get a better deal next year?
Well, maybe he's going to have a slow start to the season, but he'll ramp up towards the second half. Kind of like what we're seeing with one Rafael Devers in the San Francisco Giants.
What a segue.
Thank you. Who absolutely eviscerated the Chicago Cubs, who, oh, by the way, are a good team. And the Giants taking this series 12-3 the final yesterday. And we're going to talk about it on the other side with one David B. Fleming, R95.7 The Game Giants insider, and obviously broadcaster for the team. We'll also ask him about week one in college football and some of the storylines he's looking forward to seeing this season. And maybe we'll ask him also about Juwan Jennings. And it's going to be brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change this Labor Day weekend. Be road trip ready with Valvoline Instant Oil Change. No appointment needed. Stay in your car while they change your oil and check your tires, battery, and fluids. Before you head down the coast or over the Golden Gate, visit BayAreaOilChange.com.
Fugazi, Fugazi, whatever you want to call it. It's a woozy, it's a wazzy.
Yeah, sure.
It's your boy, Ricky Antonio, the winner of the Listener Knockout Champion. You feel me? Shout out to Spadoni and Chats, man, on 95.7 The Game. Can I get a water though?
I want Dave Fleming's best E40 impression. How about that?
Well, I mean, we're talking
about... I just want you guys to talk about me the way you talk about Mike Florio.
Well, I mean, we're going to talk about impersonations. I hope Steven Rizzotto is ready with his impersonation.
Oh, boy.
Duh.
We have been gassing that up, haven't we?
Shut up.
Dave Fleming going to be joining us here momentarily. Oh, we got him? We got him. Voice of your San Francisco Giants and R95.7 Game Giants insider as the Gigantes. Winners yesterday over the Chicago Cubbies, 12-3. Rafi Devers with two jacks. And Dave Fleming obviously joins us, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. And Dave, good morning. Are we finally seeing now, you know, the Rafi Devers we all thought we were getting a couple months ago? Is this finally, we're seeing the future with Devers in this last recent stretch? Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. We've seen glimpses of it, but last night is the full picture. Hard to do that every night, but he had a lot of those kind of games in his Red Sox career. And you don't go 7 years with a 850 OPS or whatever, you know, as a one of the best hitters in the league year after year, and then just, oh, he forgot how to do it. Like, that's just not how it works. So I think all along the perspective needed to be, it's in there, whatever is preventing him from looking like the best version of himself, whether it's the chaos of being traded, a new environment, a new ballpark, learning a new position, his back and his hip not being healthy, a combination of all those things have kept him from looking like the real Rafi Devers. Last night is why the Giants traded for him. There just aren't that many hitters in the game who can have a game like he had last night, and it was really impressive.
Well, and I wanted to follow up that, and you mentioned it. How important was it to have that game be at home?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is important. I do think that is part of what goes on with almost every player who comes here. There is an adjustment period. There is a period where maybe you get shocked a little bit. You get sort of punched in the gut by a ball or two that you know you hit about as well as you can. And for whatever reason, it's a cold night, there's a different wind, whatever. It doesn't go out. It doesn't, you get nothing for it. And that can be jarring for somebody who's never had it happen. And then, you know, and then you settle in and realize, okay, it's not going to be that way every night. It's not going to be that way with every ball I hit. It's not as extreme as it can feel when it happens to you for the first time, and then you settle in and don't try to do something extra or don't try to be something different than you are. So I do think it's a good point that it is important for him to have some success at home. It's probably not going to be the case. There's almost never been a hitter whose numbers are better at home here than on the road. You know, and that's probably not going to be the case, but you just have to have a feeling of I can do it here. And then you settle in and stop trying to do something extra.
Dave, going back to this game last night, again, love what we saw from Devers with the two home runs there, Giants winning 12-3. And it's great to see them winning at home again, because after how much of a grind it was on that 9-game homestand where they won the first game and the last game and all the games in between, it just, there was not a lot of fun feelings to be had. But last night in the game, there were two plays that happened that I think put a lot of smiles on Giants fans' faces. And I'm curious which one put the bigger smile. Was that double play off of Carson Wisenhunt's glove that Willy Adames started? Or was it the ball bouncing off the back of Matt Chapman's helmet on that relay from right field there? Two pretty incredible plays. Two plays that I don't think the Giants would have gotten in their favor on the last homestand.
Well, it definitely felt that way. It felt like, okay, finally this thing is turning. Like they're, you know, because they weren't playing well, but it also was the case that a lot of stuff was just not going their way. And sometimes that happens in sports. I mean, the double play was the more spectacular play. The double play was just beautiful. And it was Adames, and it was also Casey Schmidt. You know, Casey probably isn't going to be the rangiest second baseman, but if that's his spot long term, the thing that he has that almost no second baseman have, maybe none, is that arm strength. I mean, he has a true cannon for an arm, and you don't see that often at second base. So I mean, that was the spectacular play, and that was arguably the most important play of the whole game. You don't know where it goes if the Giants don't turn that play. The one, I love Chapman's reaction after the game. Do I get an RBI for that? That made me laugh. And to see him smile and to see him feeling better, I could make the argument that he is the biggest difference maker for this team. And he has not been healthy, not even close to healthy, for a long time. And most players would just not have been in there. Most players would have just tapped out. And that's not who he is. And he tried to grind it out, and he obviously wasn't anywhere close to his normal self. When he's swinging it like this, hitting for some power, diving all over the place, pushing the envelope on the bases like he's done in this series, they are a different team. He is that important to this team.
Talking with Dave Fleming here on the Morning Rose, Giants broadcaster on 95.7 The Game, Giants insider. Sam Lubman in for Joe Shasky. I'm Joe Spadoni. And Dave, speaking of smiles on the face, Giants fan have to be very happy about the recent diagnosis of one Landon Roop, I should say. Bone bruise only. Again, I say only as a guy that's, you know, doesn't play, you know, athletics or anything, not very athletically gifted. Bone bruise only, though. It looked like it could have been potentially an ACL or a ligament tear, you know, just judging from how he fell and the cart coming out in San Diego and all of it. But how much of a relief is that for Giants fans and the organization and for Landon Roop that it was only a bone bruise?
Huge relief. I mean, he's not going to pitch this year, and that stinks. But I, you know, when he got carted off the field, I think everybody thought, well, that could be next year too. And then, you know, the Giants already have a list of stuff they have to address in the offseason. If you add another starting pitcher, it just makes it so much more complicated. Not that they're not going to look to add to that part of their team, but I think he's a guy that they really feel confident they can count on. And of all the young pitchers, he's the one who sort of held his own and put himself in a position where he's, I think, solidified his spot. Other guys will compete for spots. I think Landon Roop going into next year is going to have a spot. And so that's great news for the Giants. He's been a huge, huge positive this season. I've been really impressed with him.
Dave, Andrew Baggerly wrote a piece for The Athletic about the Giants titled, "Are the Giants playing for Bob Melvin's job? It's an open question." Is it a stretch to say that he is managing for his job this next month, or do you get a sense that Buster Posey maybe already has made his decision for what he wants the future of this team to look like next year?
Yeah, I don't get that sense. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I just don't have a feel at all for how that evaluation is going to be made. I mean, I know that it just makes everything feel so much better playing the way they have in the last week. And it's not, you know, the losing wasn't, it wasn't just they were losing games. It was also that they were just playing so poorly for a while. And that's a bad look for everybody. That's the kind of thing that gets those articles written. That's the kind of thing that gets everybody evaluated from the top all the way down to the bottom. And if you just play, even if you don't get to your ultimate goal, but you look like something close to the version that you envision, then it's just a whole different thing. And that's what was so confusing about that month, 6 weeks, 8 weeks. I mean, it was a long time where all of a sudden they just weren't even competitive so many nights. The whole theme of the year for the first half of the season was close games one after another and just ultra tight and competitive. And then that just went away. And so, you know, I don't know how to answer your question other than to say that this is so much more like what they expect. And they should have high expectations. When you watch this team play well, you think, okay, why isn't this happening all the time? And, you know, maybe that is a complicated answer. But, you know, hopefully the pressure just gets alleviated on everybody. Bob Melvin, Buster Posey, the players, everybody, by just playing like they know they can down the stretch.
All right. Well, then in that sense, I'd like that answer. That was very good. When it does come to Buster Posey, though, what do you think is going to be the most difficult decision that he's going to have to make with this team in the next 3-4 months here?
Well, I think for him, this has been a year of, I don't want to speak for Buster. I don't. But I mean, I think when you first step into a job like that, that you have never done before, the first year is a huge part of the first year is just sort of taking everything in. You know, I know Buster told you guys or told, you know, publicly said about the draft. Hey, I want to let Michael Holmes do his job. I want to see those guys work. That's why we hire him. He said that about the coaches, about the manager. And so then I think, you know, at the end of the year, you can sit back and say, okay, what did I see? What do I think about everybody and how they did their job? And I think that's been what Buster has done the best in his first year is just let everybody do their thing. Don't micromanage. And then you have a whole lot different perspective to try to see what you need to do. So I don't know how to answer your question because in that job, every decision is a hard decision. You know, there's some guys you can point to on this team who haven't had great years and they're still young and you think, can they be a part of the future of this team? Those are super hard decisions. But I think for Buster, the year has been one of taking in a whole lot of info. And now for the next 12 months from here, we're going to get a better sense of kind of what he decided, what he saw, and how he views where this organization sits.
Now, again, I appreciate that answer. And, yeah, obviously I don't want you to speak on behalf of them, but I do appreciate you just giving the insight there anyway on the situation there regarding.
I mean, I just think I can't speak for him and I don't want to, but I think if you know anything about Buster, he is a very measured – he is not a reactive person. That doesn't mean he's got all the patience in the world. He wants this to happen and he wants it to happen fast. But Buster is not into snap judgments. That's just not how he works.
Talking with Dave Fleming here on the Morning Roast. And speaking of very measured, I think we're all very measured after week one of the college football season, are we not? We got that coming on. Dave, today we got Boise State, South Florida. We got Texas, Ohio State this weekend. Obviously, you call college football for ESPN. And you doing anything this weekend, by the way, real quick?
I've got Cal for their opening game. That's the Saturday night, sort of like Pac-12 after dark, but the Pac-12 doesn't exist anymore. So I'm going up to Corvallis for Cal and Oregon State, and it may not be the marquee game of the weekend, but I am excited that college football is underway.
What are the, you know, any teams we should be focused on this weekend? Obviously, you know, Texas, Ohio State, number one versus number three, the defending champs. That's going to be on everyone's. It's 9 a.m. here, by the way, so I can't wait to wake up and watch that. It's going to be amazing. Any other, you know, upset alerts potentially if you're looking at the slate this weekend or maybe teams we should be talking about more that are maybe flying under the radar?
No, I don't know about upset alerts. I do think that, I mean, there are, you know, Notre Dame's playing Miami. That's pretty cool. I think maybe the biggest pressure in the whole country of the elite programs is on LSU this year. And Brian Kelly, who's a really good coach and accomplished a lot in his career, but it hasn't exactly gone the way they wanted at LSU. They've got a very tough game to start. It's a year where they have an experienced quarterback. I can't remember what year it is for Brian there. Is it year four at LSU? And there is massive pressure on him to have a really good year. So there are always games early in the season where it means you lose week one, the season's long enough, you can recover from that. But there are certain programs and teams where the pressure is just so high, a week one loss can change the whole thing. And I would say of all the teams playing this weekend, that might be the case for LSU.
Well, it's funny you say that, Dave, and obviously LSU losing to USC in week one this time last year, and that fiery postgame rant that he had wasn't a great look for him. And it's funny they're playing the team in Clemson that also got destroyed against Georgia in week one of last year. So great stuff there. And I can't wait to college football. And again, September is approaching us, Labor Day. We got the NFL a week from today. We got Eagles, Cowboys. Can't wait. You can smell it in the air. Real quick, I wanted to touch on something that happened over this past weekend because it was a big story. And I'm just wondering for you, because obviously you're so in tune with golf as well. Like, how cool was it to see Tommy Fleetwood finally break through, winning the Tour Championship, his first ever PGA Tour victory, Dave? And what was that like, probably, if you were a broadcaster, being able to broadcast and watch that? Like, you got to be like low-key rooting for a guy like him, right?
You try not to, but it's hard not to root for players, athletes who, you know, go about it the right way, treat people nicely, are super talented, and for whatever reason, they just haven't had that breakthrough. It's hard not to root for those guys, and he's in that category for sure. He's one of the most popular players out there, and he's ultra talented. So it's a long time coming. It's impossible to explain how it took this long for him, as good as he is. But yeah, that put a smile on my face. It doesn't hurt. I don't know what his check was, $15 million.
Let's be nice.
You know, the first one you win is the biggest purse you could possibly win. Like, okay, save it for that one. Not bad.
All right, Dave, before I get you out of really quick, I can't let you out of here without asking this. Miami Notre Dame Sunday night, Notre Dame 2.5-point favorite. How do you see that one going?
I think it's just hard. It's harder than it's ever been in college football to know going into week one. The turnover personnel-wise is so extreme.
It's so difficult, I hear you.
You know, it's just really hard to know. But, I mean, I think Marcus Freeman and Notre Dame took a step this last year where I expect them to be a program now that's among those few elite. Now, I really like the quarterback at Miami. He is a talented guy.
Carson Beck.
And I got to know him a couple years ago. I think I did the Orange Bowl where they just destroyed Florida State. And I really, really like him. And so I think he's got a chance to be super effective there. But I'm going Notre Dame in that one.
Hey, great stuff, Dave.
All right, I guess that's a pick.
Can't wait to get your future college football thoughts as well. Hopefully the Giants can continue what they're doing lately. It's been fun to watch this team in a summer that they would like to forget ultimately. Dave, good stuff, man, and appreciate it.
See you at the yard this
I'll
weekend, Flem.
Talk to you guys soon. Yeah, great. Thanks.
There he goes. That's Dave Fleming, who joins us, as always, on the River Islands guest line. And by the way, Football Talk on 95.7 The Game is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Oh man,
football's in the air, Sammy. I didn't even know that. Boise State, 25th ranked nationally, going up against South Florida today in Florida.
Yeah, that's I probably won't be watching that.
2:30. Come on, you'd be taking a nap or what?
We kind of messed up, Spadoni. We were supposed to have Rizzo do his Dave Fleming impersonation.
Oh my goodness!
As soon as we hung up, I'm like, oh, we dropped the ball on that one. That's shame on us. Shame on the producer.
Shame on Rizzotto for backing down and not
gotta,
even getting in our ear to
you
say
gotta, I did
our,
not. I am you, not going to self-promote like
no,
that.
No, you're the producer, man. You got to get in our ear and say, you know, hey, we got to do this impersonation sensation thing here.
I'm
that's,
cutting Florio.
Oh, that's an excuse. Doing your job, please.
I would have done it.
Imagine doing your job rather than doing your job.
Yeah, like he should have just hopped in and cut Dave off.
I mean, yes, Dave, I'm going to let you finish, Dave. But I sound better than you. Listen to this. That's all you got to do, Rizzo.
It's all right. Next time. Yeah. Next time. There you go.
We'll get Flem on again. So we still got a month left of Fleming, so we'll have definitely time to squeeze that in.
Cal, Oregon State, huh? That's what he's got over the weekend.
Yeah, ACC After Dark. Well, he was talking about the Tommy Fleetwood bringing home that $15 million check. That's pretty cool. Maybe Juwan Jennings should take up golf, and maybe he can get his payday that way, because I think Juwan Jennings would absolutely return to the field if he got a $15 million check, as we are in the Jennings Jam portion of the 49ers offseason here and still waiting for this thing to end. Is he injured? Is he not injured? Is the contract happening? Is it not happening? Is he getting traded? Is he not getting traded? We talked with Mike Florio earlier. He kind of put the kibosh on any concept of a trade happening.
No, he asked for it, and we've moved on. And we're not doing that, so we're moving forward.
And then you got John Lynch saying that, which also kind of put the kibosh on a Juwan Jennings trade. So my question simply now at this point is just, what the heck is going to, where's this guy going to be? Like, he's clearly going to be an employee of San Francisco 49ers
Parts
Incorporated.
Unknown. The Twilight Zone, who knows?
He's going to be, you know, Joan and payroll is going to be putting his name on the payroll sheet. It's just a matter of what number, but like, is he going to be on the field? Is he going to be in the trainer's room? Is he going to be at home? Like, now this is kind of even worse than a holdout. This is just a hold on. What the heck is going on here?
Well, you would hope that he'd be around the team, right? If he's not going to be there physically, on the field, like be around, because like, that's what Brandon Ayuk's doing now. Albeit Brandon Ayuk got paid, but he's out there still. He's champing at the bit to get on the field. He's with these guys. He's at the joint practice. He's on the field trying to coach up some of these people. Right? He's there and he's present. Also rehabbing, obviously trying to get back to game shape at the same time. But like that's been also part of this that we kind of really haven't discussed is the Brandon Ayuk aspect of this entire thing, because there is overlap here with what went on last year with that tumultuous offseason, and there were legit talks about trading Brandon Ayuk and or Debo Samuel. Remember at the draft last year, it was, are they trading Debo Samuel? Are teams inquiring? Like their reports were that they are listening to offers. I haven't heard or seen any reports that the Niners are listening to offers on Juwan Jennings. And I played the sound right there from John Lynch saying, yeah, we're not doing that. So he's letting it be known to the league, like, yeah, we have no interest in trading this guy. And why should he at this point? Like, what are you really going to get reasonably for Juwan Jennings? A seventh rounder?
Fifth or a sixth rounder.
Yeah, that's even a stretch. With a bum calf, you're not getting anything for this guy.
Well, if you can talk up the value on the calf, that's a good point. I mean, the fact that he is considered damaged goods right now, and I think we're all in agreement the injury is legitimate, only because, you know, we put kind of two and two together here, and we kind of came to the realization, Florio spoke on this too, that there's no reason to fake an injury. It does hurt the credibility of all sides there. And guys are just hurt regardless because it is the NFL. So we can all agree the injury is real. This is not a smoke and mirrors thing. But, you know, you compare it to the Brandon Ayuk situation last year. And I think you have it on your board, what Jennifer Lee Chan said. We asked her, you know, I asked her yesterday, is it a distraction the same way that Ayuk was last year? She kind of poo-pooed it.
Yeah, if you got it, Sam.
Yeah, if you want to play what she
Sam
said, I thought that was
setting up sound for me, which is not usually the case because he's a producer here. Mm-hmm. So that helps that he knows how my board looks like. And this was JLC, a.k.a. Jennifer Lee Chan, 49ers Insider, NBC Sports Bay Area, who joined us yesterday, comparing and contrasting Juwan Jennings and Brandon Ayuk situation from last year.
It's completely different than last year with Brandon Ayuk, where you saw him all the time. We have really not seen Juwan Jennings very, very little. He was in Vegas. He posted on social media. You know, he was at the stadium, but he hasn't been on the field. Like Brandon Ayuk has been on the field with the wide receivers during pregame, during work practice. We have really not seen Juwan Jennings at all. So it's been a very different thing with him than versus Brandon Ayuk in the hold in last year. We don't know how much it is the calf. We don't know how much is the contract. I think it's a combination of both. I think it's going to, the conversation is going to be dominated by Juwan Jennings' questions tonight, this afternoon, and we'll see where it is. Last year, this exact same time is when you could kind of feel Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch express their frustration with Brandon Ayuk. It was kind of fine up until that point, but today is the day where they will, I think, show their colors a little bit on whether it actually is the calf or whether it actually is the contract.
More exhausting, is it the Moody talk or is it the Juwan Jennings talk?
Oh, it's John definitely Lynch? The Jennings talk. The Moody talk is at least funny.
You can Lynch like talked about it yesterday, by the way. I want to get into the sound.
I think maybe we can go to Kicker Watch.
Yeah.
And there's so many watches and jams and crises now at this station. The things that I've unleashed here on this station. But
look at you.
No, again, she talks about the big difference was that Ayuk was at least present last year. He was at least on the field talking with guys. He was in team meetings. And Juwan Jennings, the fact that he's injured going into the season puts him behind the eight ball. But if the fact that no one's even seeing him, they're not seeing any side work, they're not seeing him in team meetings. Granted, I don't know if they would be able to see him in those team meetings, but he is clearly far more absent from the goings-abouts down at Levi Stadium, more so this year than Brandon Ayuk was at any point last year, which makes this whole thing even more confusing because just how close things were to trading Brandon Ayuk last year, how much of a non-starter it is this year. The whole thing is just, it's just so wild. It's just so wonky. And I don't know at this point I don't know what this looks like at the end at this point.
I'll tell you what happens. I'm going to give you exactly what's going to happen. He's going to miss week one. He's eventually going to get healthy again. They're going to figure out the contract. He'll come back. He'll play. He's not going to be the same version of himself early on. Maybe he gets back to that point. But it's going to be a grind all season long for Juwan Jennings. I do not see this being some, amazing season for him in San Francisco this year. This is going to be the pecking order going forward. It's going to be George Kittle. It's going to be Ricky Pearsall. It's going to be wide receiver X. It's going to be Christian McCaffrey.
DeMarcus Robinson.
And it's going to be, DeMarcus Robinson's going to be back. So you wanted to throw him in there. I don't know what MVS is going to do, but DeMarcus Robinson after the 3-game suspension, we'll see where he's at. It's going to be McCaffrey, obviously, there. Then you're going to have Brian Robinson. Like, if we're just going down all the different names on offense that I'm going to be worrying about this season, it's going to be a while till I get to Juwan Jennings.
Yeah.
That's how I'm viewing this.
Yeah, season. I don't think any defensive coordinators are circling Juwan Jennings on their big boards in terms of guys you have to shut down. And, again, all that just continues to further work against the case that Juwan Jennings is trying to make for himself that – he deserves this big payday that he's going for because we've been saying do you think he views himself as a legitimate number one? I mean, you got to imagine there's some realism there.
I think there are Drew people in his team saying it, yes.
Well, Drew Rosenhaus is his agent. He's been around for a while. Rosenhaus has, Kane's legend. I got to imagine that as the agent, you got to get into his ear and just be like, dude, you're a great receiver, Juwan, but you're not a Brandon Ayuk. You're not a legitimate number one receiver on this team. You have to be realistic. Like, we've had I'm spacing on his name. Hendrickson is his last name. We had Marshawn Lynch's agent.
Okay.
Bonte and I did. We had him on a year or so ago, and we asked him this question where it's just like, how do you get real there? And he said, that's the toughest part of an agent's job is getting real with your clients, with your players, and telling them you're not that guy. You're not that guy, pal. Like that old
that meme
video. Yeah, the meme out there. And that's a role as the agent you have to do. And it's one of the hardest things that an agent has to do is bring your athlete client back down to reality. I got to imagine that an agent as seasoned as Rosenhaus, who's been in this game for so long, has been so successful in this game, at some point he's just like, Juwan, you do know you're not the true number one on this team, right? You got to imagine that he said that. If not, then that's agent malpractice from a guy I would not expect that kind of malpractice from.
888-957-9570 is the number. We're talking Juwan Jennings. And, I had the take earlier in the show that Juwan Jennings needs the 49ers. The 49ers do not need Juwan Jennings. You agree or disagree with that, Niner fans? 888-957-9570. By the way, we're just talking about like salary and where these guys want to get slotted in. And I have the average salary per year of just some of the top wide receivers in the game, right?
Ooh, so
you
let's
got,
hear it.
You got your Jamar Chases of the world, by the way, making $40 million this year. Deservedly so.
He's Man, amazing. I should have been a wide receiver. I really messed up going into radio.
No, dude, you got to be a golfer. That's where you want to be. You can That's be true. Playing forever. Justin Jefferson.
Golf definitely easier than being a wide receiver.
Actually, yeah, it's probably not.
That's a conversation for another day. What is harder, golf or being a wide receiver in the NFL?
Just ask LeBron how difficult golf is. It's not even close. It's the hardest sport ever. Justin By Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, DK Metcalf, Garrett Wilson, Terry McLaurin, you're getting the theme here, some of the top guys in the league, AJ Brown, Amon-Ra St. Brown. These guys are all in their 30 million or more average salary. Tyreek, Brandon Ayuk, all right? He rounds out the 30 million or more. Now we get into the 30 million or less, so in the 20 millions, all right? Let me throw some names at you. T. Higgins, Jaylen Waddle, DJ Moore, Devontae Smith. You kind of get into the feel here. These are number two guys.
These are very good number two receivers, yes. And I think they're all better than Juwan.
I think so, too. Stop me if I get to a name where you feel like Juwan Jennings is on this person's level.
Do it.
Stop. Feel free. So I got to Devontae Smith. Nico Collins, Michael Pittman, Cortland Sutton, Calvin Ridley, Devontae Adams, Chris Godwin, Stephon Diggs, Mike Evans, Christian Kirk. That's one where I stop and say,
I'm thinking about it, but let's keep going. Let's keep reading off names. I don't want to have to think about
so
it.
So now we're into, I got to, Mike Evans rounded out the rest of the 20 to 30 million. So those were all in the 20 range.
Mike Evans is kind of low on this list.
He is. He's so undervalued and still so underrated. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, he's a legit Hall of Famer, a legit number one still.
He
even
made
at,
Johnny Manziel.
He's our age, right? 32?
I think so, something like that.
So I still have hope.
So this is average salary per year, top wide receivers in the NFL. We're going through via SpotTrack. All right,
and we're stopping when we get to a name that we think is not as good as Juwan Jennings.
There you go. It's the exercise. So we're now into the 20 million or less per year average salary. Christian Kirk making $18 million. Christian Kirk. Then you get to Deebo Samuel, Jerry Jeudy, Cooper Kupp, Khalil Shakir, the Buffalo Bills, Darnell Mooney. You guys aren't stopping here. Yeah, I'm keeping
going. You guys are so much deeper than I would have gone.
Rashad Bateman. Sammy.
There it is.
Rashad Bateman?
I'm taking Jennings over Bateman.
I might take him
over Mooney too, but I'm definitely taking him over Rashad Bateman.
Okay, Darnell Mooney's the name for you guys, where it's Khalil Shakir maybe, 13
taking
million.
Taking him over both of those guys, all three of them.
Cooper Kupp at this stage?
No, not yeah.
still going
over
Kupp there.
Okay, Jerry Jeudy. I think I'm taking Jeudy based off last year still. And they're at $17 and $15 million respectively. So we're in the $13 million, $12 million range if we're getting into this conversation of the Shakirs, the Moonies, the Batemans of the world, which I don't think is that insane.
Yeah, are you giving him $12
million? I'd say 10 or 12, which I think that's probably what he's asking for, right?
I've said to Sam many times back here, I think 12 and a half is the sweet spot for him.
Yeah, I'm wondering what numbers they're throwing at each other now.
Now, who's saying no in this conversation? Is it the Niners saying they don't think they're worth that? Or is it Juwan saying, no, maybe I should be 15 plus million in the Jeudy range? See, I think there could be a sweet spot in between
this. What if it's more the Niners are saying you're not worth that? What if it's the Niners saying, listen, dude, this is the amount of money we have bookmarked that we can give you, and if you want more than this, it's not that we don't think you're worth that. It's that there is only so much money I have in my wallet that I can give you. Like, Spinoli, if you asked for all the money in my wallet right now and you said, I need $20, all the money in your wallet, I'd be like, well, I can give you $8. That's all the money in my wallet. You can say, no, I need 20. It's like, too bad, dude. All I have is eight. Like, I can't give you money I don't have. I wonder if that's the issue here, where it's not so much that we don't want to pay you. It's that there are financial restrictions in place right now on this team. And as a result, there is a number that we have budgeted that is says, give Juwan Jennings this and not a penny more. And simply put, he just wants the penny more. And that's where the stalemate is. It's not a what we think of you. It's there's a financial reality at play here. And you got to fall in line with it. They can't change it any more than they could change the color of the sky.
And again, people are probably going to be saying, oh, you're comparing all these names, but it's what his value is to the current team. No, I understand that, but within these negotiations, you are comparing yourself to the rest of the league. That is why this exercise is important. You have to compare yourself with your peers, because if I'm Juwan Jennings and his agent Drew Rosenhaus, I'm being like, yeah, man, Alan Lazard's making $11 million. Come on, bro. Alan Lazard, he ain't better than me. He's like that. That is where I will back up Juwan Jennings. Now, we'll get into, you know, the Mike Evans, Stephon Diggs, you know, Debo, Chris Godwin, Devontae. Yeah, those guys I think deserve to get paid a little bit more, because I do believe they are 1A, 1B players on their teams. Absolutely. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGNZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the Free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. 1 hour to go here at Spadoni and Sam Lubman in for Joe Shasky in the Morning Roast. We are rolling on this Juwan Jennings talk. And the latest from John Lynch yesterday, you know, talking about whether or not Jennings asked to be traded, because a month ago he was saying, no, he didn't ask to be traded. Now a month later, I guess he's changing that tune.
You know, a while ago he did, but that was a long time ago, and we've moved on from that.
That was during camp, or was it before?
I'm not getting into when it was, but it was a while ago.
So that was John Lynch yesterday, and producer Carter just got in my ear, doing a hell of a job back there, because there's this name out there that a lot of Niner fans, and it's a name, right? We get obsessive over names. Doesn't mean the production's going to be good, but the name. Odell Beckham Jr.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. You just said Dell. Oh right there.
I said Odell.
But Carter was like, what's preventing the Niners just bringing in him for like $7.5-8 million? Is it just the name? Is it the drama attached to it? Why not just go after a guy like that?
I mean, how much does he have left in the tank, too? That could go more into the Amari Cooper category, where we asked Baldy about that on Tuesday, because today's Thursday, right?
It is. Yeah, Tuesday we talked about.
Is it bad? I'm just now realizing that today's Thursday. All these days blend
time
together.
Time is a construct of man. It doesn't exist.
It really does. No, and it's a day that ends in Y as well, so we're still on pace there. But he basically said, like, a guy like Amari Cooper, it's just, you wonder how much is even left in the tank there. He's 32 years old. He didn't have a great performance with the Bills last year, a situation that you would think with Josh Allen throwing him the ball would have been advantageous to him. I kind of wonder if Odell Beckham Jr., and if you're looking up his statistics right now.
It's right in front of my face.
Yeah, what's the last thing he did in the NFL?
Last year with the Miami Dolphins, he played in 9 games, had 9 receptions for 55 yards and 0 touchdowns.
I don't know. I don't know if that stat line helps the Niners out this year.
His last productive year, you'd probably go to 2023 with the Baltimore Ravens, where he had 14 games played, 35 receptions, 565 yards receiving, 3 touchdowns, and he's only played 2 full seasons in the entirety of his professional career, going back to 2014 when he was a first-round draft pick out of Louisiana State University.
Yeah, so that doesn't sound like a trustworthy option to go to. You bring him in, yeah, it's a name, you'll get some buzz around him, but if I told you, if you brought Odell Beckham Jr. in today, and
I'd rather have Kendrick Bourne.
Yeah, if Odell Beckham Jr. shows right up at Santa Clara today at noon, signs a contract at 3, and is on the practice field tomorrow, what is he doing for this team this season? I don't think it's
a name. People love names, so we talked about it. He's a big name. He's out there. I don't think anyone's touching that right now.
No, I don't think he is either.
I would definitely be interested in the reports were yesterday, Matt Maiocco, NBC Sports Bay Area, that there is interest on the 49ers side in a reunion potentially with one Kendrick Bourne amidst all this, you know, drama with Juwan Jennings, but also just for depth in general. Just go, even if you're bringing Jennings back, which I do think, you know, he's going to play for the 49ers this season, you know, bring in Kendrick Bourne. You can't have too many wide receivers, as we've seen with this team last year, Sam. The injury bug is a real thing. We talked to Mike Florio last hour, Pro Football Talk, Football Night in America, NBC. And this is what he had to say. Check out his new book. What is it? The Shield?
Big Shield.
Not just a little shield. It's a big shield.
Yep. Available on Amazon, ebook, 99 cents.
99 cents. He's just giving this thing away. It's stocking stuff for
begging
most.
You to take
He's
it.
He's begging you. Florio talking about it being hard for Jennings to be traded at this point.
You go from the 49ers offense to some new team, and you're walking in cold, moving to a new city, new coaching staff, new quarterback, knew everything, and you have to catch up on the fly. The closer you are to week one, the harder that is to come in and make a difference. Now, any team that trades for him, if that happens, would have to understand we can't expect this guy to play right away, especially since he hasn't practiced much. That's the other thing about a hold-in. When it's time to go to work, you can't just throw the guy into full reps. You've got to acclimate him or he can be injured. A GM told me after Rashawn Slater, the Chargers tackle, who suffered a torn patella tendon under circumstances where maybe they got him going a little too aggressively after he signed his new contract. There's data out there to suggest that players who have held in are more likely to be injured. And I think common sense would support that too. Hey, I'm signed. I'm ready. Let's go. And your body isn't ready. So I think that's a big part of it. What would the 49ers want? And also, you got to make Juwan Jennings happy with his contract.
That was Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk, who joined us a couple hours ago. But if you missed any of it, really fantastic stuff on some big picture for the 49ers, their outlook on the season. He's actually higher on this team than I think a lot of others are. And he's been saying what I've been saying about it. Like, it's the Eagles in the NFC, and then it's wide open. So why not the 49ers at this point? And they would love to have Juwan Jennings be a part of this season. Will he? At some point, yes. I believe that. What version of him are you getting? Probably a diminished version. Is he going to make an impact like he did last year? Probably not. Like, it's not a hot take at this point. But him being a part of the team and eventually you getting Ayuk back, production with Ricky Pearsall, you'd assume would increase. We'll see with MVS. We'll see if they add anyone else. You'd see with George Kittle. I'm much higher on this team overall with the offense, and I think a lot of other people are. And that's with Juwan Jennings, you know, not even having the season he had last year, Sam. I'm high on this offense still, even without Jennings. Are you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just, again, if everyone's healthy, what makes me very high about this offense is not just tech. You are going to get bodies back as the year goes along when DeMarcus Robinson shows up, when Brandon Ayuk's finally healthy, but the Ricky Pearsall development
Slick
there,
Rick.
Feeling very good about that. I think George Kittle, as we've said, prime for a career year as well. Juwan Jennings definitely helps the offense, but I don't think Juwan Jennings is the difference between the Niners having the season they had last year versus a season like, we asked Mike Florio what the best case scenario for the 49ers is, and he said a Super Bowl. Like, I asked, what's the realistic best case scenario? And this guy said a Super Bowl is a part of that.
You so, have a Giants nugget we're going to get to on the other side.
A little thing broke on the other side. It's not a breaking news sounder, but okay. I think 2 or 3 minutes on some news that just came out over the last day or two that I want to share. And then, I want to hear some of the stuff that John Lynch said about Jake Moody, too, at some point on the other side as well.
I also want to do a rapid fire. We in or out on these new Niner jerseys? 888-957-9570.
I like that.
Thumbs up, thumbs down on the black Niner unis for rivalry week.
Maybe a this or that.
You know what? It might just be a this or that. And by the way, tomorrow, during either the 7 or 8 o'clock hour, we are giving you a chance to draft Joe Shasky's fantasy football team. Let me explain. Tomorrow, be the fifth caller, and you're going to win the right to make the very first selection for Shasky's fantasy football team right here for the 95.7 The Game Fantasy Football League. And that's what's coming up in the game. It's going to be brought to you by Cars for Kids. That's Cars with a K.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.